to the Great Country Rugby Championships again here in Tamworth. How's it all sorted itself out?
Everyone's really great, mate. They get here and they play their rugby, and we start on time and we finish on time. That's the main goal, and we managed to achieve that. A lot of help from a lot of people gets this sort of championships going. You know, Pirates are outstanding. All the work Wes and Scully Park do, and then all the zones and all the coaches and managers. You know, we put a lot of pressure on them to get them here, and you know, once they're here, they really, you could really see it this weekend, a reminder of what country rugby's all about.
Let's start off with the referees, of course. Great to see we've got plenty of refs, lady referees into it. Also, what's been interesting to see is now you've got a lot more referee coaches. Yeah, fantastic to see that those referees have decided not to run around and putting something back in and actually doing, you know, their assessment and having the ability to have one ref for one assessor, not 10 refs for one assessor.
Yeah, look, it's very important that referees feel supported, and ultimately they're like players, right? They want to get better and they want to develop, because that's their opportunity to participate in rugby. And it's a great, you know, I've refereed thousands of games in a previous life as a development officer, so I really enjoy the whistle side of things, but it's really important that they feel supported and develop, and that's the role of the Country Referees Association, is to identify referees for high representative honours. You know, we've had referees go through our pathways that are now in doing Shoot Shield Premiership, and we're doing NRC games, and then, you know, hopefully get into Super Rugby and full-time refereeing contracts. So there's a pathway there for the referees that's just as important as the players, as well as our coaches as well, and our volunteers. But they do a great job, you know, developing and supporting their refs.
Colts this year, we only had 5 teams and the games were half an hour each. Tell us a little bit about that. If Central North didn't have Colts and Central West didn't have Colts, is it just a symptom of apathy from the kids in a particular age group, or is COVID part of that as well? Or we won't really know until 2023 when we really clean out COVID properly.
So you try and use a bit of data with these types of things, and you know, it's probably a combination of a bit of everything. Yeah, COVID, but you know, we also have the state championships on this weekend, which, you know, a lot of country zones, we tried to say go to the state championships, but we're trying to run a meaningful Colts pathway here as well. So, you know, try and reserve your 18-year-olds to play Colts, and maybe send an under-17s development team to the state championships, as it's just the championships and whatever else. But look, I think there's a bit of that that takes players away. There's a bit of, you know, knock around from COVID. We've certainly seen that in senior rugby in particular, and zones are really, you know, flat stick running competitions, and you know, some Colts competitions have fallen by the wayside this year as well, so as well as some third grade competitions in entire zones. So look, it's one of those ones we're rebuilding again, but our juniors, we've got a really good pipeline now with juniors, and we keep growing in juniors, so that means we just got to convert those people into senior clubs and making sure that they're the best environments for people to participate in and experience.
Women's, of course, a fantastic final. Central West took on a very, very strong Hunter side. Players that had the experience in the Jack Scott Cup, which is the Shoot Shield version of women's rugby, also plenty of Super W experience in there as well. Some really, really good footy. When you used to watch women's rugby, they used to walk into most of the breakdowns, as far as not only cleaning out but also taking the ball. There's some fierce rugby out there, and that's been there for a while.
Oh, the games just goes from strength to strength with the women's, you know, and our youth girls in behind it. There's no real difference now in the quality of rugby. Yeah, it was a really good final. You know, Hunter came in pretty, you know, heavily favoured, I suppose, if you want to use that term. The Central West just played some really good rugby. Goes to show two biggest zones, and you know, they obviously got a lot of stuff behind them. So yeah, Hunter, with their history and playing a lot of 15-a-side rugby, I thought would have helped them today, whereas Central West is still playing 10s, but you know, the work that the Central West have done out there has been outstanding, and hopefully they get a youth girls competition in behind this women's comp, because the women's comp's huge out there. They just need to build on their youth girls comp, which they're doing. So no, the women's game goes from strength to strength. We need to just make sure that we're doing our bit to make sure that there's avenues and competitions for them to play in.
It's one of the real challenges, isn't it? Because we've got great success from the sevens. We're looking to defend our gold medal. But there's a lot of girls who are tall and wide who'd love to be able to play 15-a-side rugby. And there's a lot of girls I talk to in the various zones who say, why should we travel up to 3 hours and 3 hours there and 3 hours back to play 28 minutes of rugby?
Yeah, look, I mean, we got to look at that, you know. And the competition's always trying to do the best thing for their players, and they take all that feedback on board, and there's reasons as to why. As I say, I like to look at data. I don't like to look at speculation or rumours or whatever else. So Zone's always trying to do the best thing for their competitions. Country's trying to do the best thing for all our Zone and our clubs and our players. So, you know, that decision-making process, whilst people might disagree with our decisions, there's always a rationale and some data behind it.
Get to the men's, of course, for the Caldwell Cup. Two finalists, Central West, who's been outstanding for the last couple of times, back-to-back titles, and the Coopers final, Coast Dolphins, found their way through to the final and nearly pulled it out of the fire. A lot of people have commented on having the playoff in the morning there. It actually has worked from a point of view of there's some tough rugby in the morning, even though it's 8 o'clock in the morning, but it's actually added to a better spectacle in the afternoon because they've had games under their belt. Always been that interesting thing where there should be maybe a tournament before the season, just a bit of a loosener, better trial matches, but also a tournament after the season when everything's finished. So you can do a million things, as we've said before, Sobby, but it's just, yeah, it's actually been a really, really good Caldwell Cup.
It's so hard. Honestly, it is so hard to get it right, the balance. Look, I think, you know, this is my personal opinion, but the most important thing is club rugby and our club competitions and growing them, because if we build that, then pathway will look after itself. And I'm a big believer of that. Now, when it comes to pathway will look after itself, it's a tough job trying to get a balance with a 5-team draw and try and do it on 2 days, because that's what the Zones want to do. They want to try and have a bit of their long weekend, and that's fair enough. It's one of those, it's just very difficult to try and squeeze in enough rugby so the coaches and selectors are happy, the players are happy, the Zones are happy, you know, the referees are happy, and it's a fine balancing act. But as always, we collate all the feedback. There'll be a very in-depth survey again sent out, as we did in 2019. We got some wonderful feedback from players, coaches, managers. You know, it was a full 360 sort of review of the champs, and we made some excellent improvements. So we'll continue to do that again. We've got 9 Zones. I didn't create odd numbers. If anyone's done a rugby draw, they're difficult to sort of manage and make fair, particularly in sort of an event or championship style rugby. But back to, you know, should we have a pre-tournament for seeding purposes? And look, as I said, the big goal is getting more people playing club rugby and keeping them playing club rugby. Pathways for about, you know, 1% of our playing population. It's not the be-all and end-all grades.
Oh, well, the argument also is the inspiration that you can derive by having somebody like Harry Wilson come from Gunnedah is priceless, or somebody like Tom Robinson from the Dubbo Roos is priceless, not only for that particular club, but also that particular that zone, but also, of course, for that particular town. Like, I remember Chris Latham was always called the boy from the Narrabri Blue Balls, and you just can't buy that publicity. So you need this to be running with a bit of money. You've got fantastic support from Elders. Santos has jumped on board, which is great to see, and we'll talk about their smashing success early this year with the trial. Also, you've got Rex, which is part of the New South Wales experience as well. Gilbert, you know, you've got the deal there when you go through gilbert.com.au when it comes to getting your jumpers and all that sort of thing for your clubs. And how have you seen those experiences, and how have those companies sort of reacted to the positivity that's been part of New South Wales country rugby?
But they're amazing. You know, everyone, all of our partners have different wants and needs, and that's part of being a partner, right? Some are about branding and exposure and getting it out there, but all of them are, you know, want to be seen, I suppose, but all of them want to contribute to rugby as well. So which is really nice to have a set of partners that actually want to genuinely give back and get involved and roll their sleeves up and, you know, get involved in either developing club volunteers or whatever else might be. So we're pretty lucky to have them on board. Elders is our major partner, obviously Santos, but then we have Regional Australia Bank, that's our banking partner. Gilbert's our official apparel supplier. Rex Airlines is obviously our way to get around out here and out the bush. So we're very thankful and very lucky to have the partners, and they do a tremendous job for country rugby.
Last thing, of course, speaking of which, talk about community engagement. It's something that everybody's asking about, more Waratahs. We don't know what the Shoot Shield are. They're on a completely different planet that has nothing to do with us, and that's sad, because there's a small amount of people who like the Shoot Shield, but the argument always has been, well, we don't have time to watch Shoot Shield because we're too busy watching, you know, the Parks Boys take on the Mudgee Wombats or the Gunnar Red Devils play the Narrabri Blue Bulls, you know. So that's been their problem. They've got to sort out if they want to play on Sundays or Saturday nights or whatever. But Earlier this year, the Sandhurst Festival of Rugby was nothing short of outstanding in Narrabri. Also, community engagements there with the Central West, also Central North again with Rob coming up to Gunnedah, and again, more fun there going up through the Central Coast and into Newcastle as well when they were coming up. You know, people are hungry for this sort of stuff, and hopefully under Paul Dawn he can sort of get the messaging that we wanted, and I understand this one team, and we talked about this before, but yeah, I don't know how we can sort of think around it, because we had something called the Elders New Shores Country Eagles, which was doing a pretty good job, but again, you know, I think it's more the Shoot Shield clubs need to get motivated to do something instead of one token game out in the country here and there. But that's an I know the Shoot Shield is not to do with New South Wales rugby, it's not to do with us as such, unfortunately. But they've made that decision not to be part of us as a collective experience. So, yeah, it's fantastic to see these things are out there. And as you said to us earlier in the year in Narrabri, that, you know, the union is now listening. And I just hope some other people that are part of the game, i.e. Shoot Shield clubs, can listen as well and be part of, you know, the grassroots of the game.
Yeah, look, it's... They're clubs as well, you know, they've got budgets, and it does cost money to travel regionally, and country people shouldn't be surprised at that. You know, it's not easy to get, you know, high quality rugby out here. We were so lucky with Elders and all of our great partners of the Eagles that they, you know, sponsored the team and were able to do that really well, and you know, and do some really good community engagement stuff around it. But that's not bloody easy, and it's very difficult. And when you, and particularly, you know, talking to some premiership clubs or Shoot Shield clubs, their bar take and their canteen sales is what keeps them going, you know. So to take a game regionally, so it doesn't make a lot of sense for them to do it, you know. So it's difficult. It's all a balancing act, right? What do we want, country? Well, to be honest, like, it'd be awesome if Shoot Shield clubs were aligned with country zones and we could get them out there meaningfully, and we had councils helping, you know, pay a bit of the bill. That's a huge agreement, and that's a huge piece of work, and that's a lot of stuff that needs to go under the bridge to get all that sort of stuff sorted. So, in essence, they're just big rugby clubs, you know, that play. Yes, they've got probably a higher caliber player, but they're a rugby club. They're no different than the Tamworth Pirates, you know. They're no different to the Parks Bulls. They've got a committee, they've got a budget, they've got a treasurer, you know, all of these sorts of things. And so, look, I just think let's keep looking after our own backyard, keep growing, let's keep growing our juniors, let's keep growing our girls, and that'll be a good pipeline into our seniors, men's, Colts and women's. And that's all we can do. Stop peering over the fence and trying to look for greener grass, and let's just look after our own backyard first.
Well, mate, as I said, mate, it's fantastic to talk to you, man, but people from the grassroots see their kids go down to Sydney and there's no recognition for that. So that's not an unreasonable ask when kids are getting taken down to Sydney and there's no transfer fees, but that's another, you know, Rubik's Cube, porcupine to try and hold on to. That is not, won't be happening in the future, I don't think. But by the same token, you know, as you know, and you've been part of it because you're leading it, is all the heavy lifting is being done by the country zones at juniors. And as we said before, it's great that, you know, they get a small amount of recognition when the commentator says, you know, Tommy Robinson takes us to the guts from, you know, Dubbo Roos or whatever. And there's plenty of those kids now, not only with boys but also girls, and it's just interesting moving forward. But if you want to find out more about New South Wales Country Rugby, that's what you do. Just go through their Facebook page, Google search New South Wales Country Rugby, or go to the website there, nswcountryrugby.com.au. And Sobby, we put you right through the ringer once again, so it's all good fun as per usual. And we hope that you'll be able to survive not seeing us for another 3 months and putting you through the ringer.
Ah, thanks, mate. And Wixie, thank you for covering rugby as you always do, mate. So, no, it's just wonderful to be here in Tamworth, and a massive thank you again to everyone that's contributed to making the championships a great success again.